world. That's been our series. It's all about us sharing our faith. If you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, there's a reason why you asked that. We need to be saved. What do we need to be saved from? Anybody? Sharon, it's so good to see you, by the way. I'm back on. Sin! Satan uses sin to pull us from God in that relationship. So we need to be saved from that. So when we have the answer, man, we want to tell the world about our answer. And so last week, we kind of finished up telling stories. We all have stories to tell where God has done something in your life, because if you've asked him into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in. If we live by the word, things are happening. And when things happen, we have stories to tell. You have conversion stories, which God allowed you to see, hey, I need a change. And we have stories where just because he exists in your life, that amazing things happen. I told some stories in my life, and last week we talked about those hard stories. The stories where maybe we've had loss or we've had addictive behaviors, and God's brought us out of that. And those are difficult stories to tell because you have to be transparent and open. But the beautiful thing about a hard story is there's a fantastic answer. And so some of my hard stories, it's hard starting to tell them because there's shame in some of my actions in the past. But there's freedom from sin. And if God can take that shame and say, hey, I forgot about it, now we can realize, hey, I have a story to tell. There's other people going through these things, feeling bad about themselves and what they've done, but there's freedom from that. So it's even phenomenal to be able to tell that story in your life about how God has brought you from addictive behavior or brought you from a loss or kind of help you take a new lease and a new look on life when you thought, man, I have screwed things up so bad, or this is just such a bad position. There's power in God and there's stories. But one thing I said last week and I want to go into this week is if we're going to tell that story, we have to live as people of character. How many people could you say, or do you know, or maybe you've been, where, hey, I tell a story about God, and I talk about Jesus, and people know I go to church. But boy, there's parts of my life that I don't follow the Word of God. I kind of have my own little trail. I kind of like to, one foot on this side, one foot on this side. Yeah, there's a saying, it's a little deep, I almost had to look up some of these words, but listen to this. This is our author of this, the book we've been using as a guide, Alvin Reed. The truth of the gospel proclaimed, devoid of character, is the epitome of hypocrisy. Basically, this is truth. This is God's word. This is what he's given us. This is infallible. It is inspired writing. And so when we live by this, we are taking in the direction of God himself. And so if we're saying, yes, this is who I live for, but we live a life devoid of character, we live a life where our character doesn't follow this word, we are walking hypocrites, and that's where it gets confusing. And the world, I think it's leaning too hard on it. Christianity's picked on the most because it's right. Satan doesn't want what's right. He wants what's wrong. He'll push every other religion and give them all the freedoms in the world. But Christianity is nailed pretty hard. And so a lot of people say, well, if you're a Christian, you're just a hypocrite. Well, that can be true if we're living a life that is void of godly character. And so if we claim to be Christians, we need to walk by this word. And some might say, oh, that's so deep. There's just no way. We're imperfect. We're just human beings. But God has given us grace. His son died for us. So we don't have this sin hanging over us. But do we struggle with sin? We will still struggle with sin. But we have this word before us that walks us along the path of righteousness. We simply need to be in it. We need to walk in it and follow it. When that happens, I'm telling you, and most of us could say at one point in our lives, it actually makes life easier. Has anyone ever walked out of a sin of your life that just held you down, kept you captive, and all of a sudden it's gone? Did life get easier or harder? No answers. The hard part was letting go of a lifestyle that wasn't written in the Word. It wasn't directing us towards Christ. It wasn't setting an example for others. Yes, it takes a tremendous amount of effort. that I've told you even in my stories, man, the freedom that came from that, not looking over my shoulder, the realizing I'm not a hypocrite, that my lie is true. Man, did that make life easier. Built me up, gave me grace, filled me full of joy. And so walking in character is so important, and a godly character. I want to walk you through these scriptures. This is 2 Peter, and it's very powerful, just a few scriptures to help us understand how this is possible. Listen to this. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So we're asked to walk in godly character. How is that possible? Well, God says, I've given you everything you need. All the tools are there. You ever go to a job? Hey, I need you to paint this wall. Okay. Have any paint? No. Ever brush? Mm-mm. But paint the wall. God's like, I need you to paint this wall. There's the paint. There's a brush. There's a drop cloth. There's a little thing for when you get under the trim and your wife yells at you. I'm sorry. Everything is there. Just do the job. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this, how? By coming to know Him. How do you come to know God? You have to be in His Word. You have to understand. You have to pray. You have to give Him your time, your effort. Daily, that is going to allow you. It doesn't have to. Some people just get so hung up on, oh, man, you know, the Word. First of all, I am learning every day more about the Word because it's so vast. But some people pull back on letting their light shine because they don't think they know enough. Slowly, daily, allow this to speak into you. It's life-changing. Don't look at it as such a big thing. I can't handle it, so I won't even start. Sometimes we look at a big job. Not for me. Someone else have to do this job too big. You start by jumping in there and just working on it slowly. And the power of God through His Holy Spirit works through this Word. It goes on. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Now listen to this. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. The lack of character comes through that corruption of worldly desires. The things that we want that God says, this is not good for you, and this does not allow me to be seen through you. So we need to escape those desires. And how does that happen? Well, it's through these promises. You might say, okay, what promises are we talking about? The best scripture I could find, because God promises so many things throughout the Word. He promises grace, love, comfort in a time of mourning, salvation from sins. But when you ask Jesus into your heart, something really cool happens, and I want you to listen to this. All praise, I'm reading out of 1 Peter now, chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. That's when you accept Jesus Christ as your heart, you're born again, you have new life. Death no longer holds us. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power, until you receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. It goes on and it talks about, yes, there's going to be hard times ahead, but we have received a promise of eternal life and the power through the Holy Spirit to live this life, to be men and women of character, to shine the light of God. Not just to struggle and trudge and just, oh, I just need to make it through life. You are a vessel that God desires to fill in order to pour out on other people. When you've asked Christ in your heart, I'm telling you, you are powerful. God made it so. And we have an inheritance, and all that is waiting for us. Man, that excites me. But we need to live as men and women of character, not allowing the world to come in and corrupt us with those little desires that give us these moments and glimpses of happiness. What does it say about sin? Sin is fun for a season. Who wants to have one season of life that you enjoy in all of your years? I want life to be fun and full of joy. I want to have purpose in life and not allow Satan to beat me up on all these issues that I'm struggling with because I don't want to walk in this word. Our character and the people seeing Christ through us is based on our relationship with God. So it's so important for us to realize that I want God to be seen through me instead of just me, the good version of me seen through people. Anyone have some secrets that you kind of hide, you don't really walk out and tell everyone about? Ladies, you ever jump out of bed and just go to work and makeup, hair, unnecessary, I'm fine. No, you want to beautify. I say ladies because just to see me get ready in 3 minutes, but we want to take care of ourselves. We want people to see the best. And so sometimes that's hiding some things. Well, what if we just work on the things that need to be hidden so they don't have to be hidden anymore? Listen to this. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. There's a biggie. Self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love for everyone. I could preach on that for 2 hours because of all that's there. But what I want us to understand, all those things seem to work together towards helping the next one. As I was reading through this, scriptures began just to flow through my head, and I just started writing some of them down. I want to hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin. So hiding God's word in our heart allows the Spirit to convict us and make us aware of sin. So being in the word is so important. Avoid the mere appearance of evil. Anything that would appear to be evil or to pull you away, don't dabble, don't even try, avoid it. Pray without ceasing, for this is whose will? God's will. Stay in constant prayer. There again, a constant relationship with God. And everything that goes on in life, allow God to be a part of that. Allow Him to be involved. Don't be the one solo, hey, I don't need God on this one, I'm just good. So we're hiding God's word in our heart. We're avoiding the mere appearance of evil. We're praying without ceasing. Forgive others as God has done what? Forgiven you. If you're harboring a bitterness and hatred, God's saying, guys, I can't forgive you of your sins because you're being a hypocrite and not forgiving others. All these different things in the Bible, these promises, they come. When we act them out, they come back to us. God does not break any of His promises. And so to make every effort to respond, I love this. When you're supplementing your faith, you're taking your faith and you're allowing moral excellence. Where do we get our morality? It's through the Word of God. And our knowledge, where does that come from? It's through God. God's knowledge comes into the heart and makes a change. It's just not all head stuff. Our knowledge is that allows us, okay, now I know. Now it allows me self-control. Hey, I desire this, but I know that's not good for me based on my knowledge of what the Word says. I need to walk away from it. Self-control with patient endurance. Man, is that a big one. You know what I do every day when I go into work? Is I have a prayer time. It's the last part of my drive, and then I get into the parking lot, and I take the last 5 minutes. So I get there 5 minutes early just on purpose. I know that's not a big deal. Some people get there half hour early, but and that's not me. And I just pray, God, correct anything that's wrong within me. Open up my mind and my heart. Help me realize why I'm here. See, I'm just not going there to fix machinery. That's how God got me in the door. And He gave me the gifts and the talent to do that. But I'm in that door to show those people the love of Jesus Christ. So I pray, Father, give me patience. Because it takes a lot of patience. anyone work on the marketplace, there's people out there. There's people in here. We're an aggravating sort at times. We have all the different thoughts and then ways of doing things. And so instead of looking at someone like, man, you just greet me, it's like, God wants to do something amazing in you. And I need those patients to allow to see past what I might see as an annoyance to say, you are a child of God and this light needs to shine on you. So I just pray over the people of that dairy every day, 5 days a week when I pull in that parking lot, just to prepare me, prepare God to do something through me. I don't want to miss it. That is so important, to prepare yourself. And so that patience and that endurance, and it just leads to godliness, because we're actually not showing a good part of us, we're showing God, who he is, his grace, his love, his passion for people, and brotherly affection, and love for who? Love for everyone. And that's a hard one for a lot of people, but Jesus had that love for everyone when he died. He didn't pick and choose who deserved his grace. He gave it to all. So who are we to pick and choose who we're going to love on? We've been called to love everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that? So the more we grow in character, the closer we are to God, the closer that relationship is, the more we walk the line of his word, this is what happens. The more productive and useful we will be in our knowledge for the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means if we're being productive, that means the light of Jesus is getting out. Why? Because we're simply mirroring God, not a good version of ourselves. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind. Now keep in mind, we're talking about Christians here. Those who fail to develop. Yes, you've asked Jesus into your heart. You believe that he's the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead. But now you're kind of comfortable in that. It's almost like, oh, eternal security, I'm good. That alone is not the heart of Jesus. If Jesus was worried about himself, he didn't need to come down to the earth. He came down to the earth because he was worried about us and the state that we were in. We need to be worried about the lost because God's called each and every one. He desires that we all, we're in heaven with him, that we all repent. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Oh, let's not be short-sighted. So, dear brothers and sisters, when we say brothers and sisters, who are we talking about? Christians, people who have accepted Jesus Christ in their heart. Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. It is work. It is effort. It is daily. But man, is it, I know we're working hard. It is so much easier than walking in sin and having to deal with constantly those mistakes and what they breed. But it is hard work. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Woo! There it is. We just live on this earth, and so sometimes we're just so used to this, but there is an eternity that God has called us to. Free from sin, free from issues, free from financial payments, free from trying to make this relationship work. I mean, free from all of that, but it is hard work. So I just want to walk you through quickly my life in this area. This isn't at all to say, hey, be like me. But if you can use yourself as an example, do it. So I've done things throughout my life that have helped get me to a place to where Satan does not have near the foot into the door that he used to have when I was younger. And the first thing is, I ground myself in the Word every day. Every morning I get up. I don't have to be to work till 7, but I'm up at 5. I just want to hang out with God. That is important because what God's going to do through me, I need him to be in here. So every day I'm in the Word of God, and I start it off with the start of my day. There again, you read in the afternoon or night, that's your deal. But we need to be empowered by His Spirit in order for the Spirit to flow through us. And so we have to do it. And it's daily. Every day you eat food to empower your body, what's to think that the Spirit doesn't need power on a daily basis? So every day I do that. I just told you, every day I stop, when I get to work, I stop and I have a prayer time to prepare me to go in. Not just to prepare me, oh, help me with all these wretched people. No, God, may people see love through me. May they just see You today. I do that because God's given me a heart and I love those people. I'm not at the dairy to support my family financially. That's just another bonus. I'm at that dairy because God needs people to know about Him that are there. So why are you where you're at? Because God's placed you there for a purpose that's bigger than just making money. So I ground myself. I have a daily prayer time. Some things as a pastor, this may seem weird to you, but I'm just going to give you some steps that I've always stood by. I never meet with women personally behind a closed door. I do a lot of counseling. I meet, even this week, I met with Christine, I met with Tina. And so we're either in a room where there's a camera or in a door that's open when other people are in the building. Why? Because that, do I have an issue? No, and I don't want one. So I don't set myself up to failure. So when it comes to women, I have that in place. My wife always knows when I'm meeting with someone. And not that it happens a lot, because I meet a lot of times with groups. But that is a safety that I put in place. Money. Never handle money. I've handled a lot of money, especially when I was a youth pastor, to come in and pay for this, and a lot of it's cash. And we had an individual for a while that couldn't attend church, but I would meet with him and have breakfast with him once a week, and he would hand me a tithe check. And I don't know if it's because of his past, but that tithe check was three times probably what it had to be. And it was a lot of money, and it was cash. And what I did right away is I came and I got Scott Westerkamp, one of our board members, and our head usher, and I said, okay, every week I'm going to be hanging this to you. This is the amount of money that's in it. You check and make sure that it's always in there. I've never had an issue with money. I've never had the issue with stealing, but I don't want one. It would be easy to say, oh, I've done this for a year. Just hand this, and all of a sudden, 8 months into that year, man, did I have a rough week. Car broke down, this happened. Man, there's $300 in here. They're not going to miss 100 of it. I'm the only one that takes it and puts it in the offering. No one even knows what this person gives. God could do that. I don't want that to happen. So you put something in place where whenever I handled money or counted, I had someone right beside me to make sure that I wasn't going to screw up. Phone. Who has a phone? What can you access on that phone? Any stinking thing you want to. Well, I've struggled with pornography in my past, and I don't want to struggle with it again. The fact that I haven't struggled with it for probably over 20 years doesn't mean that Satan hasn't still pushed that desire in my mind. I still find certain things attractive. I just have got to guard myself against that. So I have a Covenant Eyes thing on my phone. I tell my wife she can grab my phone anytime she wants to and check into it. I have to put those safeties on. This isn't an issue anymore, but back when I was on nights and my schedule was different, it would be easy for me to watch TV by myself, and I had to stop that because I struggled with those images and what I might do with them. So I had to put things in place and give my wife the authority to hold me accountable. Why? Because I want to be the light of Christ. And I realized those shortcomings in my life were pulling me away. Business and cash. We have a small business in welding. Lately, we've had people that just want to pay us in cash. It would be easy to take that cash and put it in your pocket and not pay the government their due. Well, Jess and I understand this. Whenever we get the cash, we write it down a certain way. We turn it all in. Why? We just want to be people of integrity. I had a person tell me just the other day that the government government's getting way too much of our money, so when he's paid in cash, it's really just getting back at them by keeping it and not having to pay. Well, that's the worldly thought because it puts more money in your pocket, but it takes integrity out. We need to be more concerned about integrity than money. And so together we sit, well, I don't sit down, but I hand her the cash. But together we understand, hey, we need to do this. Yes, 33% is a lot taking out of that, but God, You've taken care of us. So why now am I going to try and take care of myself by lacking integrity and going against Your word? Don't want to do that. This is a big one that sometimes people struggle when I say it, but alcohol is one of the biggest things out there now. It's the biggest fight Even our open Bible churches, I now, as a pastor, can legally drink. And before, it was in bylaws that we couldn't even touch this stuff. You might say, why was that passed? There were so many people that were coming out of Bible colleges and just younger generation that says, hey, it doesn't say that you can't drink, and they're right. You can drink in moderation and be totally fine. Not going to hell at all. And so, after much deliberation, our open Bible allowed a vote, and it was voted to allow pastors to be able to legally drink, not in excess, but there again, who you know, can put power on that. And so I've never drank before, but having the freedom, I have to ask myself, but why don't I? Because I see that there can be an evil in that. I see that alcohol has a power. I have story after story after story where even Randy Johnson, when he was a police officer, told me, man, when I go to domestic violence cases, 95 to 98% has to do with a drug or alcohol. And another cop, Rick, is shaking his head. There is power in that. So I could drink a little bit. Someone told me, Matt, you could fit in with the group at bars if you would just drink a little bit and your ministry would be stronger. Well, I know what alcohol can do. I don't want it to do that to me. I don't want it to put me in a bad place. And you know what? It's not just about partying. You know what drugs and alcohol have done to people and dear friends of mine that have set me down with struggles asking if I could help them get out of these struggles? They replace what God can do in us. I've had people tell me, Matt, it's my stress reliever. It just calms me down. It helps me cope with my problems at the time. You know, most of them say it doesn't really do much afterwards, but at the time it helps me in this area. So I look back to the start of my list. I ground myself in the Word daily, and I pray daily. See, that's my stress reliever. So if I allow something else to take place of my stress reliever, I'm doing less praying and less in the Word of God and allowing a substance. I'm not speaking against chemical medications. I understand there's depressions, and I understand there's medicines that have helped. But self-medicating, that becomes our God. That becomes our stress reliever. We put our faith in that. I don't want that. So as much as I could, I stay completely away to protect myself so I can be a person of character and never fall. Because too much, next thing you know, I could have done something that just wrecks my testimony. See, those are just a few things I put in place for my life. But it's not about Matt and this pedestal thing at all. God desires that you let your light shine. He desires that you be men and women of character. If you're struggling in an area, put things in place. Get people around you accountable-wise. I'm telling you, it's going to be difficult with some things that you really don't want to let go, but the Word of God says you need to. I need you to be men and women of integrity. And I want to close on this. This, matter of fact, you might take your phone out and take a picture of this thing or go look up Oswald Chambers. This is a deep, deep saying that if we can wrap our minds around it. I'm blind, so I'm going to walk up here to read it. The expression of Christian character is not good doing, but God-likeness. So our character, when we live in the Word of God, it's showing God to people. It's not just, oh, Matt, Tiffany, John, Dan, you guys did good things. No, you did God things, and people are seeing God through you. So expression of Christian character is not good doing, but God-likeness. If the Spirit of God has transformed you within, you will exhibit divine characteristics in your life, not good human characteristics. So if we're changed by the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ is in our heart, we're now in prayer and in the Word, and that Word is coming out of us. It's not good characteristics, it's godly. And then grab a hold of this one. I love this. God's life in us expresses itself as God's life, not as human life trying to be godly. You understand that? God's life in us. When we walk in the Word, in this truth, our character isn't a good human character. It is a godly character. Our actions are showing the love of Jesus Christ because they're showing Jesus. We're simply transforming this powerful word through our hearts, out our actions, our mouths, and people are seeing the love of Jesus. And when we distort that or pervert that by having certain things on, no, I don't think I'll do that. Then they're seeing the human. And when you see the human and the divine intersect, that's our first, what our first slide was. The truth of the gospel proclaimed, devoid of character, is the epitome of hypocrisy. Let's not show people hypocrisy. Let's show people the love of Jesus Christ with our lives. And that's going to happen through living out character. And that's going to happen through setting godly principles up for your life that you follow. If you ever struggle to follow, hey, I just don't know how to do it. I'm telling you, it is possible. Talk to me. Talk to our leadership. Let us sit down and just help you walk that path. Because as I told you before, there is a freedom from sin that, man, does it feel good to know that your life is being used for God instead of just little pockets of happiness you can give yourself. Amen? This is powerful. This is the Word of God. I'm just preaching it. Apply it to your lives. Lord God, come into our hearts, our lives, open our minds up to the idea of not just understanding, yes, there's a God that loves me, but man, there's a God that can work through me. So allow us to walk in the discipline of your word, to desire that relationship that has so much to do with prayer and time spent with you and conviction. And then watch us really be amazed that when we see what our lives can be like when you're working through it, how people can see love, joy, and hope, how people can find salvation, how they can find their answers simply because Jesus illuminated himself through our actions and through our words. I pray over every person listening online, every person in front of me. May the power of the Holy Spirit work through them. May it work over anxieties. May it work past the areas of our lives where we say, hey, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. Nonsense. May we tell our stories, walk out our truths. May we die to our sins. May we be open. May we use the worst parts of our life to tell people those stories about what the best thing that happened in our life, how God brought us from one thing to the other. Empower us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray this over everyone through his Holy Spirit. And everyone says, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next week, which is Father's Day. Looking forward to celebrating that with you.